One of the things that made my journey to Greenville exciting was the fact that when I got there, I was able to reconnect with a dear friend of mine, Dr. Peter Maruyama. His first name is Ichiro. Now, you said Maruyama is round mountain? Maruyama is round mountain, and Ichi in Japanese is one, and you said Ro is husband. So he's a number one husband, lives on the top of a round mountain. He taught us that. And it's just been such a joy to know this dear man, one of the dearest friends I have in this world, and thank God. I met him back at Bob Jones University as a student there. He spent time in our home with our family in Wisconsin. We went door to door, knocking on doors in church planting with church planter Grant Rice, and down in sub-zero weather, and he had never experienced that kind of weather before. That was back in the Midwest. And we had just a delightful time together. He went to Japan. He left his wife, and his daughter was born while he was in America. And then when they planted a church, or took what was just the formation of a church, and he spent over 50 years there now. They had their 50th anniversary the end of last year, I think it was. And at any rate, he's done just an amazing and marvelous work. But he does this not just Japan. He's been working with Filipino pastors. They started a seminary in Japan. I would imagine there are over 100 guys in the ministry out of that seminary. They've recently started his good friend Dr. Ron White, who's in the music area, but a missionary also. And Ron White has gone with him into Myanmar, and they've started another seminary there. And at 82 years of age, he flew all the way from Japan to Greenville, survived it, and then he's back here. And I asked him, "How did you sleep last night?" He said, "Not so well." But at any rate, just, if you will, just put your antennas up and just listen very, very closely this morning. He's going to talk to you about the work of God. At 82 years of age, he's still traveling all over the Orient. And they're starting another church where our missionary Martha Cochran lives. And they're already holding services on Sunday there, but that will officially be started as a church soon. So they'll have their second church plant there. His dear wife has been having physical difficulties, and especially with pain in the arms and the surgical procedures that didn't go as planned. And so his wife, Shisako, needs our prayers also. But I've asked him to come and just report to us and give us what's in his heart today. And it's just an honor and a joy to welcome just one of God's choicest servants. And may the Lord bless you, Dr. Maruyama, as you speak to us today. God bless you.
Thank you, Dr. Ellis. I hope you understand my English. When I had 82nd birthday this March, I began to forget names. When I preach, I forget the name Abraham. I never thought that getting old is getting clever, getting full. I hope you'll understand my English, as I could not sleep last night well. I had a hard time sleeping in Greenville for 3 nights. I couldn't sleep. So please forgive my poor English. I hope you'll understand while traveling. When I was teaching children in Sunday school class more than 60 years ago in Tokyo, an American missionary told me, "Hey, what are you wasting time teaching children?" I said, "Sir, I have a burden to reach children." He said, "Don't you waste your time teaching children. Go to adults and preach the gospel to them." But I had a question. Why can't we preach God's message to children? Children are growing. Men are not growing anymore. So I had a hard time working with this missionary, a Baptist missionary from Florida. His father had 3,000 members in the church every Sunday. He was proud of his father. But I had the burden to reach many people around the world. As we have heard of my message several times. My father lost his parents when he was very small. His father had lumber business, I understand. And he lost his parents when he was still small. And a Buddhist priest took care of him, brought him, taught him how to write, how to read. In those days, children learned 4 years in primary school. And my father learned how to write, how to read, taught by a Buddhist priest. So my family was a very devout Buddhist. Ichi means number one, as the pastor told you. Lo means husband. But I'm the 11th son in the family. I'm not the first one, I'm the last one. My wife's name means Shizuko. Shizuka means quiet. But she's... Names don't mean much. When Japan lost World War II, all the Japanese people lost hope in life. And I thought, my father must teach me something. But he said, oh, I'm afraid to die. I'm afraid to die. We're afraid to die. When I began my work in Narashino 15 years ago, I painted signboards, large signboards, 50 signboards every month I painted. One time I wrote, freedom from death and terror. When you write in Japanese letters, we have the first word, death, and worry, freedom. The night I placed that signboard in one place, there was a telephone call. Take that signboard away. I'm scared to watch that. And he just tried to beat me. And I asked him, sir, may I ask you what kind of business you are working? He said, me? I'm a Buddhist priest. We are free to die. See, Buddhism does not teach you how to get saved. They are afraid to die. That's the reason why I began to work for World Wide Missions more. In those days, when I started Narasimha Baptist Church 15 years ago, we started our church with just 8 people. The first time we had a business meeting at church, I told our people, our goal is to reach children because they are growing and they become good Christians. Secondly, our goal is worldwide missions because it's the Lord's commandment. We must all go out and preach the gospel. Since that day, although our church could not support me financially, I taught English conversation and made my living that way, just 1 hour a week, because I helped the radio English lecturer. General MacArthur asked him to teach Japanese people how to speak English over the radio. In those days, there was only one station, national radio station, and he was the instructor. I learned how to speak English. When I was young, my brother often said, hey, Peter, why don't you eat lots of potatoes with butter like Americans? Then you'll be able to speak English and speak Japanese. In those days, it was hard to get butter, but I tried to eat lots of potatoes. I listened to that radio conversation 15 minutes a day, every day. And then I began to gather many young people. There's no place for us to get together. So I went to a police station and I asked them, police master, could we have meeting here twice a week in the evening when you have no meetings? He said, okay. I told him, you see, if we get together, young people get together in dark place, you'll be wondering, are they going to do something bad? But when you have a meeting at the police station, you don't have to worry. He said, that's right. You come. That's how I started a Come English Club. And then our activities was reported in large newspapers again and again. I started helping other people, organizing this club, listeners club all over Japan. There were 1,600 clubs all over Japan those days. And I became the man to handle these. And this radio English lecturer who studied drama at Washington University, he was the one who broadcast the emperor's message over the radio all over the world when Japan lost World War II. And he afterwards asked me to come and help him with his work. So that's how I began to be close with a radio English lecturer. And that's how I learned. When he had broadcast, he wrote everything, every word, in 6 papers. And he just practiced again and again how to read it as if he was talking freely. While I was working for him at his house, I saw him praying many hours before he had broadcast. That was the reason why I began to read the Bible, study the Bible. I have no way to thank the Lord. You may not believe it, but standing here tonight, this morning, because of light, I thought. It is a miracle. You're seeing God's miracle here. When I was preaching in the Philippines, 1988, I started traveling different islands. I got on a very old Japanese boat from Cebu to Leyte Island. There was no place to sit, so I stayed in a very small place. And then there were many mosquitoes. And when I got to Leyte, my right eye began to bleed inside. I saw blood. When I went back to Japan, I went to a very famous Keio University eye specialist. And the doctor said, hey, come on, doctors. You can find very unusual case of bleeding in the eye. And the doctor told me, the blood in the eye will circulate your head, your heart, and you'll be dead. I was scared. And no doctors helped me. And they said, this is a very unusual case. I wrote to your pastor, Dr. Innes. After 2 years of bleeding, I had a chance to go to London. London. We went together to London, World Congress of Fundamentalists. I was supposed to preach the last night on missions. Dr. Bob Jones, the second, asked me to do that. But it was a very difficult case. Dr. Innes introduced me a very famous eye specialist of Stanford University. I did not have enough money, but I prayed. God prepared my travel expenses and doctor's expenses. And this doctor, he suggested, saw my eye, and he said, I cannot see the inside of your eye because of the flow of blood. And as I was going to stand and leave, another doctor came in and said, let me see your eye. This is a very unusual case. you're not diabetic, you're not having any problem. This is just one out of a million cases. We do not know why. All the doctors in Japan told me I will become completely blind in 2 years. And this doctor told me in America, if you can read and write, it'll be a miracle. I can guarantee you only 5 years. I still can read. It's God's mercy for me to work for Him. A year later, just a week before Easter Sunday, I was ready to go and preach. There was a knock on the door of our back door. Our house is connected to the church building. As I opened the door, a girl who has been a Sunday school children, she was 23 years old. She cried in a loud voice, "My Lord, Satan told me to kill you because you're so anxious to go out to spread the gospel around the world. My Lord, Satan told me to kill you." And she had a beer bottle with full of beer, and she hit me 3 times. I still have glass piece in my head. Satan does not like worldwide missions, does he? He doesn't like to see missionaries going out to preach the gospel. And this young woman started coming to a church when she was still small, but she had a neurotic problem. And then, a year afterward, Mrs. Ron White had cancer. She was living about 6 hours away from us by train. I wanted to see her and encourage her. On the way back, I had difficult trouble using the bathroom. And I began to be very warm. When I got home, I went to the doctor's place, and the doctor said, "You stay here in the hospital. You have prostate cancer." After 4 days, I had a company coming from our church, and they said, "Someone is dying tonight, and the family wants you to conduct the funeral for her." So I went to that place, I went to the hospital, and the lady, 63 years old, had been sick for 6 years, and her granddaughters attended our Sunday school classes. So they wanted to have the Christian funeral for her. This lady was a strong anti-Christian Buddhist. So asked the Lord, "Lord, can I conduct a funeral? A very strong anti-Christ Buddhist." I remember how Gideon asked the Lord, so I did the same thing. "If you want us to do something for her," we prayed. And I didn't conduct her funeral. She survived 6 more years. I saw another miracle of God. God is able. And when I went back to the hospital again on Monday, I asked the doctor, "Doctor, would you give me 1 day to pray?" A nurse, chief nurse, came in and she said, "I have something to talk with you." She stayed with me 1 hour, just talking different things. I wonder why she's with me for 1 hour. when she's so busy as a nurse. She wanted me to convince to get surgery immediately. But I told her, as a Christian, I trust the Lord and I am not afraid to die. The following day and days after, my doctor came every 2 hours to check my body. On Saturday morning, the doctor called me to come to his office. As I went, usually doctors sit in a large chair like this. He just stood up when I went into his house, his room. He just stood up and bowed deeply. "Sir, I'm not a Christian. I don't believe in God." He was teaching at a very famous university. He was a professor. He said, "I don't believe in God, but this is the first time your God has won. Your cancer is all gone without medication, without surgery. So my being here is God's miracle. If you have some sickness or cancer, ask God to heal you. God is able to do miraculous things." I know many Baptists don't talk about healing. However, here is a man God has healed, a Baptist. Since our time is limited, then let me hurry. I want to meditate upon the words in the Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1, starting verse 3. "I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making requests with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye all are partakers of my grace." In verse 5, we find fellowship in the gospel. In verse 7, we find partakers of my grace. Worldwide missions is a work among the Christians to partake. To partake means, when I was preaching in Taiwan years ago, they invited me to dinner. I saw about a dozen people sitting around the table, in one table. At the center of the table was hot plate. And everybody used chopsticks, picking. In Japan, guests have another phrase to say. We don't eat from the same pot. But they just had the same pot and drug soup, and I was afraid to eat. But because I was a missionary there, I followed them eating the same thing, drinking the soup too. And I learned Christians' attitude toward foreigners must be the same way. We must eat from the same pot, drink from the same pot, sit together, eat together. That is the partaking. Many people are afraid to partake God's mission work. When I started the missions office in Japan years ago, when I went back to Japan after finishing my study at BJU, I told Japanese pastors and American missionaries, Bible Baptist Fellowship preachers, I'd like to send out missionaries from Japan. And some pastor stood up and said, Pastor Maruyama, what are you talking about? There are so many villages in countryside where there's no church. Our responsibility is to preach the gospel to the Japanese people in Japan. We have no money to send out missionaries. I said, well, whether we have money or not, God's commandment is everybody is responsible to send out missionaries, to preach the word of God. I never thought that pastors stood against me to start Worldwide Missions Office. In spite of that, I organized Missions Office, and the first missionary from Japan was from a small church. Went to Okinawa when American army was there occupying. When I was invited to Taiwan to preach, an American missionary told me, I want you to preach on missions. So I prepared my short messages for 5 days. Every night I gave an invitation. Young people stood up. There were 9 young people wanting to serve the Lord full time. And this missionary told me, we have 7 deacons in our church. And when I told the deacons, we're going to have a mission conference here, inviting Pastor Maruyama from Japan. Our deacons said, we don't want you to stay here anymore. Go back to America. So, coming Monday is my last day to leave Taiwan, because I emphasized about missions. The last day of the mission conference, Sunday morning, when I finished preaching and gave an invitation, all the 7 deacons came forward, repenting of their misunderstanding. And they asked the missionary, American missionary, please stay here, please stay here. Almost 30 years ago or so, I went to Trivandrum, India. And the last day of the meeting, there were about 80 pastors. The oldest pastors were above 80. When I began to preach on missions, my interpreter, whose name was Abraham, he said, Pastor Maruyama, I cannot translate your message anymore. We pastors in India have been taught by American missionaries this way. You people are very poor. You preach the word in your own country. Don't talk about worldwide missions. You stay here. I said, oh, I had cold sweat running my back. Please, please interpret my message. He said, me to interpret you? I'm afraid to do that. Please, I'm speaking from the word of God. Let's listen to the word of God. When I finished preaching, all the 80 pastors came forward repenting. They said, we were wrong. We must follow the Bible. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. I'm a very coward man. I was afraid to talk to strangers when I was young. But when there was 9/11 in America, in New York, Japanese large newspapers all wrote something very strange thing. Fundamental Christians are worse people, like these people who destroyed New York. I couldn't stand that. Why? Why? Fundamentals are so bad. So I wrote a letter to these newspaper editors. We Christians have been taught to be honest and gentle in the Bible. The Bible never teaches us to kill other people without cause. I wrote to 5 large newspaper editors. I received one response from Asahi newspaper. After I wrote, about 2 weeks afterwards, I had a visitor from Osaka, very far away. He said, I was responsible to cover that area. I'm the assistant editor. I came to apologize to you for our mistake. We'll never do the same thing again. When I'm going back to Tokyo, the main office, I'll be very careful about it. I know that you people, Christians, fundamental Christians, are not the same as Muslims. I was a very coward man, and yet God used my poor letter to move this large newspaper editor. Coming to visit me, flying by airplane from Osaka to our area, just to say, we're sorry. Can you believe this short man, a coward man, fighting against 5 large newspapers? If God be for us, who can be against us? Because of time, I'd like to ask you to pray for some of the needs. September 2, 2014. Dear Brother Dr. Maruyama, Lord has enabled us to send in Bible verses, personal evangelism, and encourage some older women who have been neglected by their own children. They are suffering for their daily needs. Thank the Lord we are able to provide some of their unmet needs by your offering. This lady is a wife of a Baptist preacher. Her husband has an epileptic seizure. And I send some offering to her. She uses telephone, waking up at 4:30, and call 120 ladies how to get saved and how to grow in Christ. I went there 3 years ago with Dr. White to preach the gospel. And then I have another one, September 7th. To my beloved brother in Christ, Pastor Peter Maruyama and Mission Prayer Band. I'm going to do just the important part. Brother, I'm writing about my work and prayer needs to you. I thank you for praying for my prayer needs and for my work. Really, I want your relationship and fellowship in Christ, because we are one family in Christ, and also we are children of God. Thank you so much for clothes, 2 boxes of clothes, used clothes. We received them recently. Here, our orphan children, widows, co-pastors, all are well, and they are saying their God's love and greetings to you, family, and all brothers and sisters in Christ. Brother, before I told you about our magazine, please send your wonderful message. I'll print your message in our magazine. Prayer request. Pray for fasting meetings. I'm attending fasting meetings on 18th to 24th in September. Pray for new souls and Hindu and tribal people. Pray for people and tribal people and ministry. And then I received another mail from the Philippines. We have a Bible school in Cebu. We started a seminary almost 29 years ago. with Pastor Bladai because they did not have enough money. A small church of 60 people having supporting this night school. We praise the Lord for all the blessings He has given to us last week. Last August 31 was our 57th mission anniversary, which was started by the American missionary Bob Hughes, where 63 first-timer visitors and 20 made profession of faith. Attendance were 524. On September 2-4 was also our 21st booster conference, and there were 51 pastors and 27 pastors' wives with a great challenge and preaching of the word. Pastor, it is rainy season now in our country, and many times we have already experienced that the water came inside our balcony up to the ankle. We had to remove the water by using of pails. But we are really praying that the Lord will continue to supply needed materials. To install aluminum windows in the second floor and the balcony, it cost $10,000 US. Can you believe a small church of just 60 or less support two seminaries, one in Philippines, Cebu? We started a seminary in Myanmar 9 years ago. Having two seminaries, we must pay to the teachers, we must feed the students, we must pay for the buildings. All because God is able to meet our needs when we work for God's ministry. I'm not asking you, I'm not begging you for money, but you too can do that. It is everybody's responsible to spread the gospel around the world. It's not easy. I know it's not easy. If you go to Japan and give a tract, would you read this tract? And we have a meeting at 7 o'clock at a church. Please come. They say, oh, thank you very much. We'll go. They never show up. They never come. They just say, thank you. That's the way Japanese people show politeness to you. But they never show up. In my experience, it takes 10 years to lead one soul to a solid Christian. Many missionaries from America leave Japan after 2 years learning Japanese. We have a friend who studied BJU. He was supposed to be number one student, very clever. He stayed in Japan for more than 30 years, I think. He and his wife are all sick and now back in Tennessee. Dr. Les Frazier, you remember him? Dr. Frazier. He said, Peter, Japanese language is so difficult. I learned Greek. I can introduce you how to read Hebrews and different things. But Japanese language is the most difficult language. We have four different ways. Most polite way, regular way, and then casting words. You have to choose with whom you are talking. And many missionaries leave Japan. It takes years and years to build a church. Please pray for Japan. The average Japanese church is supposed to have just 10 to 15 after 30 years or 40 years. Can you think? Can you believe? It takes 10 years to lead a soul to a solid Christian. We've been working for more than 51 years and just 60 some. And then we have another mission from our church, 2 hours away from our church. And I go there every Wednesday to teach ladies, and then first, third, and fifth Sundays away from our church. And our son-in-law is taking care of our National Baptist Church now, so I go there. We're going to split into two. Please pray for that. I'm going to ask Dr. Innes to come and pray.
Let's bow for our heads and close our eyes for just a moment. This business of getting the gospel out is long term, and it's not easy. It takes persistence, prayer, a burdened heart, and a dedicated life. My prayer is that God will encourage us to reach people with the gospel here and around the world. I just look at this message today as a real shot in the arm, an encouragement and a help. If the fire is burning low in your heart and in your soul, just right now, just ask God to rekindle it. We need just a fire of evangelism in our church and just a sense of concern that begins here. And as our dear brother has said, it goes around the world. Heavenly Father, thank you for what we've heard in this hour. We needed to hear it. And will you, Holy Spirit of God, very wonderfully apply it to our hearts, to our ministry here as a church. Help us, O God, not to give up on people that we're seeking to win to Christ just because the first or second time or within a month or two we don't see them saved. Help us, Lord, to keep our hearts hot for evangelism across this great nation where the need is greater than ever before around the world in far off places where the work of God is carried on. Give us a renewed interest and zeal, and give us renewed resources to invest in the work of God, we pray. Touch our hearts today. Set them aflame. O God, don't let us be indifferent. And yet, our Father, we pray that you shall encourage and strengthen us. Make us strong in this work. May we be strong in the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. So touch your people, bless them, help them, encourage them, and strengthen them now, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.